Okay, let's get moving. Zayin Amabez. This year again is Zeichen Nishma Sima Bas Abraham Tzvi. Yesterday we had the discussion of different parts of different things sticking up in Rishus HaRabim, whether they have the status of Rishus HaRabim, whether they have the status of Carmelis, whether they have the status of Mokum Tur. Remember the Yisod about Carmelis. Carmelis has to be Dalad by Dalad Amos, and it has to be within 3 to 10 tefachim from the ground. That was the yisod that we got from yesterday about Carmelis, because the Carmelis can't be more chomer than a Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid, because it's patterned after those. It's really a makom tur inherently, but really the chachamim were gozer, but it's not going to make it more chomer. So just like Rishus HaYachid has to have dalal al dalal, so too Carmelis has to have dalal al dalal tefachim, surface area. And just like Rishus HaRabim only goes up till yud tefachim, and above yud tefachim, so then that airspace is makom tur. So too in Carmelis, above yud tefachim, the airspace is Malkum Patur. Those were the Yesodas that we got from Carmelis. And Amid Beis, we spoke about the concept of Churei Rishus HaRabim. If you have a Churei Rishus HaYachid, if you have a main Rishus and then a little area off of the Rishus, like a hole or the rest of the house, as we said yesterday, does that have the status of the main area or not? That was Amid Beis. Then we saw the important Tosfos on top. That's Mechalik between Sukkah and Shabbos. Okay. And then we got into a little bit of Chokak and Lahashlam. Nice lashon chok and lahashlam or not in yani mezuzah. The Gemara brings it to in yani Shabbos. Okay, two dots. Gufa. Amar Rav Chisda. So this is a quote from what we had in the bottom of the previous amud. Na'etz kana bershus hayachid vizarak v'nachal gabav afilu gavoa mea amachayev b'feishu bershus hayachid ola alarakia. The bottom of the previous amud, Shmuel had said to you, Rabbi Yehuda, don't talk to me about above 10 amas. So Gemara says, what's that talking about? Is it talking about Rishus HaYachid? It can't be, because Rishus HaYachid goes all the way up. Right? Rishus HaRabim must be Carmel. So the line of, hey, Rishus HaYachid goes all the way up, that's this line here. That if you put a little reed in Rishus HaRabim, and you throw something, Dalad Amos in Rishus HaRabim, and it lands on top of the reed somehow, and then even if it's 100 Amos in the air, you're Chayef, because Rishus HaYachid goes ad Larakia. Right? That is the halacha. Zarak v'nach. I'm sorry. The Rashi says here, because Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid. Right? It's Rishus HaYachid, and you throw it from Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, it's called Akira b'Rishus HaRabim v'hanacha b'Rishus HaYachid. No matter how tall it says, afilu katnu akavoa mea ama. Right? Even 100 amas, it doesn't matter. It goes up al rakia. So says the Gemara, Lema Rav Chisda da'amar harebi. Let's say this Memra of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda who says that it goes up all the way out of Shemayim, but that's not the emphasis of the Gemara here. The Gemara is emphasizing what we discussed earlier in Dav Dalet. Let's say Rav Chisda, who not only said the idea of Rishus HaYachid, but the idea that you don't need a makom dalet al dalet for it to rest on, right? Because we thought, up until now, as they just started the shir, that you need Rishus HaYachid has to be defined as a makom dalet al dalet. So that's true, but maybe the hanacha in Rishus HaYachid doesn't have to be on top of something that's dalet al dalet. Right? We spoke about that on Dav Dalet on the base. So let's say Rav Chisda holds like Rebbe. Rav Chisda doesn't require that, as you see here. It can go on top of a reed. Let's say he holds like Rebbe, right? We always try to get the Amora to hold like one of the Tanoim. That's the derech of the Gemara. So Ditanya, Rebbe says, and again, we had this before because we had the possibility in Dav Dalet that this following Tana was the Tana of the Mishnah. So we quoted it from here. So Titania Zark v'nochal gabi ziz, if you throw something, Dalad Amos and Rishus HaRabim, and it lands on a ziz, some type of protrusion, some type of little ledge that's sticking out from somewhere, Rebbe v'chayev v'chamam potrin. So Rebbe says you're chayev, and the chamar say you're potter. So what's mashma from there? Rebbe says you're chayev, must be that it's called a hanacha, even though it's on this tiny little ziz, and it's not a makom of dalet al dalet surface area. So we want to say that maybe Rav Chisda, the Amora, holds like Rebbe the Tana. That's the suggestion of the Gemara. So it answers the Gemara, no. Top of Chesem and Aleph, Amar Abaya, no. Two girsos in the Gemara. Rashi doesn't say Befeirus, he has two girsos, but it seems like the first opinion in Rashi, the Rishash points this out, is missing the first line of the Gemara. So we're going to skip that line for a minute. Amar Abaya, Hacha bi'ilan omid b'rishas hayachid v'nofo notel rishas harabim. Vizarak v'nach anofo. The Rebbe Savar amrinan shadinofo basar ikaro. V'rabbanan savi lo amrinan shadinofo basar ikaro. And the way that Rashi explains this way of understanding the Gemara is that we reject this suggestion. The suggestion was that Rav Chisda holds like Rebbe, right? Rav Chisda doesn't require a makom of dalet al dalet, and Rebbe doesn't. Answers the Gemara, no! Rav Chisda is against both of these opinions of the Tanaim. Rebbe, who says you're chayiv, you know why he says you're chayiv? Not because he doesn't require a makom of dalad al dalad, but because since this protrusion is connected to an ikar, to a main structure, which is dalad al dalad, so it's considered as if this nof, the branch of the tree, or the ziz, the protrusion going out, that is makom dalad al dalad. He requires dalad al dalad, but this is considered. We had this idea earlier. And the other opinion, the Rabbanan, rejected, and they say it's not. You need a makom dalad al dalad, and you don't have it. So according to that way of understanding, this machlokas in the Braisa, Rav Chisda is against both of the opinions. That's why you can't have the first line of the Gemara, because it says, Kid Rav Chisda. So that's why, according to the first approach that Rashi quotes, you skip that line, the line that Girsa, and then you quote that the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan is about whether you consider the makom that sticks out as dalad al dalad, since it's connected to the main makom, which is dalad al dalad. But if that's the case, then the Rav Chisda is against both of the shittos of the Tanaim. The second way Rashi quotes a Lishna Achrina, line 3, and that leaves in the first line, that maybe Rav Chisda could be like the Tanaim. But again, it's a rejection, because the Gemara is saying that there's no raya that these opinions are holding that you don't need a makom of dalad al dalad. The machlokas between them is about a separate issue. If you have a tree in one rishus and branches in another rishus, what rishus are those branches considered? Do you say those branches are considered following the rishus of the ikar? Or do you say those branches are in their own rishus? That's the machlokas. But it could be like Rav Chisda, but it doesn't have to be like Rav Chisda. That's the second pshat of Rashi. Lishna achrina amar abaya, mid Rav Chisda, davi rishus yachad, afilu rabbana modu. It could be that everybody holds like Rav Chisda, but v'chei pligi rabbana, that machlokas, v'shadi nofo basar yikaru with the pligi. It's a machlokas about whether you throw the leaves after the tree. And that's a general machlokas that comes up in a number of places in Shas. Interesting cases. Let's say there's a tree that's in an Ari Miklat. In Ir Miklat, a tree that's in the city of refuge, and a person's running away from the Gaal Adam, he doesn't have time to go into the city, so he jumps onto the branches of the tree that's hanging outside the Ari Miklat. So do the branches of the tree save him? Does that have the status of an Ir Miklat? Or the Gemara compares that to, let's say there's a tree hanging out, and it works the opposite way also. Let's say the main part of the tree is in outside, and the branches are inside. Let's say a person wants to eat Maaser Sheni. We know a person has to eat Maaser Sheni in the walls of Yerushalayim. So what happens if the tree of the branches, either one, is outside, and he's sitting on that? So, or it works maybe Lechumra also. Let's say he's sitting on the branches inside, but maybe that's thrown Basar Ikara outside. But these are all cases where you have to define what the Rishus is, and this could be a general machlokas of Shadi Nofar Basri Karo or not. But if that's the interpretation of this, then there's no Raya. Maybe they're like Rav Chisda, maybe it's not like Rav Chisda. So that is two interpretations that Rashi has. Fine, that was based on a quote that we had earlier. Next, two dots. Amar Abaya, fifth line on top. Zarak Kaveres L'Rishus HaRabim Gvoha Yud Ve'ina Rechavavav Chayiv. Rechavavav Pater. A kaveres is it's a beehive. But from the context of the Gemara, you can tell that it means just a basket. Kaveres is also a basket in Aramaic. It's a basket it's a rounded basket. Picture a round basket with walls that go up on the side. You throw this basket in Rishus HaRabim. Fine. The question is here, the question though is, according to the Gemara and the way Rashi and Tosfos both explain it, you're only chayav for throwing objects. You're not chayav for throwing rishuyos. If what you throw is itself considered a rishus, so then you're not going to be chayav. That's the halacha. We'll get to Rashi and the Ritva in a minute. But that's what it is. So what's called a rishus? So gavo hayud, if the walls of the basket are 10 amos high around, the ein rechav avav, but the diameter of the bottom of the basket is not 6 tfachim, so then it's small, and it's not called its own rishus, and you're chayiv. Why 6? We're going to see in a minute, a 6 diameter translates, if you have a 6 diameter, that means you could fit a box of dalad al dalad inscribed in the circle. We'll do the math in a minute. But that's why, because in order for it to be its own rishus hayachid, as we said, rishus hayachid requires dalad al dalad, 4x4 tefachim square, and the Gemara is going to say that the only way that you can have a 4x4 square inscribed in a circle is if you have a circle with a diameter of almost 6. The Gemara rounds off, but it's almost 6. So that's why it's that, but the yesod, we'll get the yesod first, and then we'll get the math. So that's, if you have the basket, that's not six wide. So when you throw, it's called an object. It's not called its own rishus. Therefore, you're chayiv. Rechav avav. But if the basket has a diameter at the bottom of six, so then that is called its own rishus, and therefore putter, therefore you're going to be putter. Why are you going to be putter for throwing a rishus? We'll get to it in a minute. If it's a gavoa asar tzvachim, because the Rosh Hashanah requires 10 tzvachim high. Let's finish for a minute. Rava amar, afilu eina rechava vav pater. No, Rava holds that even if it's not six wide, you're still, and therefore it's only considered as if you're throwing an object. You're not throwing a whole Rosh Hashanah, you're still going to be pater. Why? Mai taima, I efshar lekromio shalkana shalo ya'alu lamala me'asara. Because when you have this, they didn't have perfect baskets in those days. They made them out of wicker, out of stuff that sticks out. So it's impossible, says Rava, that some of the pieces from the basket aren't sticking above 10 tefachim. Right? It's like these sharp pieces of the straw. So says Rava, and this is Yesod that we hold of, if you throw something that's so big that some of it ends up in a makom ptur, which is above 10 tefachim, then even though most of it is under the makom ptur, but since a piece of it is above, you have some stuff sticking out, the putter on the whole thing. That's not called a hanacha in Rishus Arabim, since a piece of it is above 10 tefachim. That's what Rava says. And even Rashi explains here that even the Tanakhama holds of that, it's just he doesn't think these are chashuv, these little pieces sticking out. Everybody agrees with that yesod, that if you throw something, and there's a hanacha in Rishus Arabim of most of the object, but some of it is above 10 tefachim, which we've said is called a makom ptur, it's no longer Rishus Arabim, you're going to be putter for the whole thing, because that's not called a hanacha in Rishus Arabim. If some of it is sticking up, then you are going to be putter. So that is the yesod. But again, the important principle is throwing a rishus is putter. Throwing an object is chayiv. So let's for a minute do the math. It's when I first started this, I'm like, oh, I got intimidated, but work it out that it's not so hard. And that is, how do you figure it out that this math? So let's say you have to get a square of dalal inside a circle. So what does that mean? So picture in your head a square inside a circle. So what is the diameter of that? So basically, you split the square into two right triangles, and how do you get the diameter? A squared plus B squared equals C squared, which is the hypotenuse, right? The diagonal, the hypotenuse. I've learned it as the hypotenuse. So A squared plus B squared equals C squared. So work it out. You know the two sides. You know A squared and B squared, because you know it has to be dalad, right? It has to be dalad al dalad. So 4 squared plus 4 squared, right? 16 plus 16 equals 32. So that's how you know it's going to be C squared. But what's the square root of 32? Right, 32 is going to be the sum of the diameter, but it's really c squared. So the square root is something a little less than 6. Something a little less than 6. Rashi points that out. It says the Gemara is rounding off. But either way, that proves about 5. The Gemara does that sometimes. It rounds off the numbers. It's 5.6 or so. So that ends up being the diameter of a circle which has the square inside. We're not interested in getting the same surface area of the circle. Meaning if you put a square inside, you're missing some of the circle outside the square. We don't care about that. What the Gemara is interested in is getting the square perfectly inscribed inside the circle. If to get a dalet al dalet square, you have to have a circle with a diameter of about 6. And that, if it has 6, then it'll be called its own rishus. So that's the yesod of the Gemara. Right. That's what it sounds like from at least the way it's working it out here. But if it's a whole rishus, you're putter for throwing a whole rishus. Why is that true? Why are you putter for throwing a whole rishus? So Rashi here says, because they didn't throw rishuyos in the Mishkan. They threw needles in the Mishkan. Rashi here, rechava vav putter, the havi rishus la'atzma, vanan mi Mishkan gam rinan, shahu zorkin machtein, b'malathin zelazev, lo yu zorkin rishuyos. They didn't throw rishuyos. They only threw objects. So it's not to be the Mishkan. Simple. If you look in the Goyen Hashas here, though, the Goyen Hashas says, look at the Gemara Daf Sadek Vavim Abayz, Tzarech Iyun. Right? What does that mean? So the Goyen Hashas doesn't seem to have had a Ritva. The Ritva here asks the same question. The Ritva says, if you look on that Gemara, the Gemara says, there's a Havamina that you learn out Mavir from the Machtin, the needles going back and forth. Lebaskanis Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, we reject the Makar of throwing the needles to each other. Zakat Rashi say that. That's the marker for here. That you didn't throw Rishuyos based on the needle. That's only a Havamina on that Gemara, not a Maskana. So the Ritva first defends Rashi. He says, you know what Rashi must mean? That Gemara, when the Gemara says, Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, that just means in terms of what's the Av, what's the Tolda. Ma'avir Dalet Amos might be a Tolda. But the Yesod of learning from the Mishkan, the case of the needles, that we still do. And by Hotza, he doesn't add this in, but Hotza, as we've said the first day of the Shir, Hotza being a Malacha Gerua might be one of the few Malachos that you can have a Tolda that's in the Mishkan. Usually the fact that it's in the Mishkan defines it as an Av. But Hotza could be different, that's how the Ritva seems to learn it, that it's in the, that Gemara just means that it's a Tolda, but it doesn't mean that you don't learn it, that's not what it, you don't say that what the Gemara means is rejecting the fact that that was the case in the Mishkan. But that's A. But then the Ritva quotes another whole reason. He says maybe the reason for the Ptur is not because it's not Dumya de Mishkan. But maybe the reason is because when a Rishus, let's say you throw something that halakhically is called a Rishus HaYachin. So you throw it into Rishus HaRabim. But when it rests, it's not in Rishus HaRabim. You don't see it as if you threw from Rishus HaYachin to Rishus HaRabim. You threw from Rishus HaYachin to Rishus HaYachin. That's where it still is. So says the Ritva, that's a different reason than Rashi. Why you putter for a chava for less than a vav? Not because you're throwing a rishus, therefore it's not like throwing a needle, like Rashi says, but a different shot. That maybe the point is because when you throw it, it's considered resting in its own rishus. It's throwing from rishus ayachin to rishus ayachin. A nafkamina between these two cases, I just saw in one of the footnotes of one of the svarim. He says, what happens if you throw this basket that's a whole rishus from rishus harabim? From Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. So our Gemara is about Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. It's considered in Rishus HaYachid, so then you're not Chayav. But if you throw it from Rishus HaRabim, so it's in Rishus HaYachid, fine. But you threw from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. So that could be, that possibly could be a nafkamina, unless you say, when you threw it, it started off in Rishus HaYachid, because it was his own Rishus. Okay, that's a little off the track. Fine. Okay, so far so good. Let's continue now. That's the first half of this Memer of Abaya. So now, we're in the middle. Kafa Apiha. What happens if you threw the basket upside down? You threw the basket upside down. So you have this basket and it has the piha, its mouth, upside down. Shiva umashahu chayiv, shiva umechza putter. If the height of the walls of the basket are 7 and a drop, then you're going to be chayiv. But more than 7.5, which we'll see means more than 7 and a drop, really mashu here means, mechza means 2 mashahus, you're putter. Why is this? As follows. As we just mentioned a minute ago, a hanacha of an object must all be within 10 tefachim from the ground. And we said everybody agrees to that. That's why Rava said if you have these pieces sticking up, it's going to be putter. As long as you have part of the object above 10 tefachim, in the makom tur, it's going to be putter. Everybody agrees to that yisod. The only machlokas before was whether it was chashev or not. So says the second half of this brisa, the following chiddush. But we just have to remember two principles that the Gemara is working with here. Right, Ari, always say, what are the principles from today? He has two principles. Number one is the concept we've had before called lavud. Lavud is, if something is within 3 tefachim from the ground, it's as if it's touching the ground. It's as if it is ground. Like we had yesterday, if something is under 3, you might have to be 3 in order to be its own rishus. Within 3 is considered ground, but that's what Rashi says we're working with here. But the Ritva here says, very importantly, the heavy yodea, the Ritva says, you should know, we're not only using lavud here, we're using the concept of good. What's good? As we said before, good achis or good asik. If you have mechitzas, if you have walls, sometimes you could shoot them up, sometimes you could shoot them down. Here we're shooting them down. That's good achis. You have a wall, let's say you have a wall of a sukkah. And if you have a wall of a sukkah that's hanging, the Mishnahs and sukkah talk about when you could consider the walls were on the ground. So to here, let's say, picture in your head, you're throwing this basket that's upside down. So says the Gemara, let's say you're throwing this basket that's upside down, and now it's getting close to the ground, and all of a sudden, it gets within 3 tefachim of the ground. Stop the scene! Okay, it's just within 3 tefachim of the ground. Stop the time. So what's going on here? It's within 3 tefachim of the ground. So says the Brisa. It's within 3 tefachim of the ground. So let's apply the principles of good. So it's as if it's on the ground already. And let's apply the principles of lavud. Right? You shoot it to the ground and it's as if it's on the ground. So says the Brisa. If the basket is more than 7 and a mashahu, at this point, it's as if it's on the ground and a piece of it is above 10 tefachim. That's why you're going to be potter. If it's only 7 and a mashahu tefachim, so then the second that lavud kicks in, which is within 3 tefachim from the ground, do the math, it all adds up to 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim, it's all in Rishus HaRabim. So that's why 7 and a mashahu, then the entire object is going to be within 10 tefachim, and you're going to be chayiv. But if it's 7 umechza, if the walls of the basket are 7, more than 7 and a little bit, so then the second that the basket gets within 3 tefachim from the ground, which is when we halachically consider it on the ground, we consider that the hanacha has taken place at that second, if it's more than 7 and a mashu, then a piece of the basket is still above 10 tefachim. If it's above 10 tefachim, then you're going to be pater. That is what the Gemara says. That's what the difference between seven and a mashahu and seven and more than a mashahu. Seven and a mashahu is in the second it gets into the airspace where the principles of love and good kick in. So then it's all considered on the ground within ten tefachim, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. But if it's more than seven and a little bit, if it's let's say eight, let's say the walls of the basket are eight. So then, the second it gets to a little bit under three, let's say it gets to the 2.5 mark. The 2.5 plus 8 is 10.5. That means half of a tefach of this basket is still above 10 tefachim. You're going to be pater. We just said, if you have a hanacha with part of the object above 10 tefachim, that's going to be pater. That is the principle what the Gemara just says, like we just said. Kafal pia again. Shiva umashu chayiv, shiva umachsa pater. Rashi just points out also, this only applies when the basket's upside down, not when it's right side up. Because upside down, then you have mechitzas. Right, upside down, there's no mechitzas, they're just walls of a basket if it's right side up. Upside down, it's mechitzos with a roof. That's why it only applies when it's upside down. Ravashi amar afilu shivu mechzachayev. Ravashi argues, he says, even if it's taller, if it's 7.5, you're still going to be chayev. My time of mechitzas l'sochan asuyos. Because these walls of the basket aren't considered mechitzas. Right, they're made to put stuff in. They're not made as walls. The principle of lovewood, as Rashi here explains, only applies when you have mechitzos, when you have walls. But so these, halachically, says Ravashi, are not considered walls, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. It's not going to be called outside the reshus. You're not going to apply the principle of lovewood. Okay, right. Amar Ula. Amud tisha bereshus harabim. So now we're getting back to discussions like what we had yesterday. Just keep in mind, Tesma Beis is a new Mishnah. So we have another blot and a half of Hotzah, and then we get to new topics. Amar Ula, hang in there. Amud Tisha versus Arabim, Varabim Makasvim Alav. We're getting back to what we discussed yesterday about if you have objects and things on the floor versus Harabim, do they have the status of versus Harabim? Do they have the status of a Malkum Tur or a Carmelis? So let's say you have a pillar that's 9 Tfachim high versus Harabim. Varabim, which is like about so high, right? It's a pretty convenient height. Varabim Makasvim Alav, and people use that pillar to put stuff on, to fix their baggage on. So they use it. So then, if somebody throws something and it lands on that, you're going to be chayiv. Why? Because that's called Rishus Harabim. That's Rabim use that area, and therefore it's going to be called Rishus Harabim. As we said yesterday, Rishus Harabim does not require a makam of dalal adalad. Rishus Hayachid requires a makam of dalal adalad. Rishus Harabim could be much smaller. And as long as it's within 10 tefachim, it's going to be chayiv. So if you threw something on here, dalet amos, you're going to be chayiv. My time, pachas mishloshim midras darsi le'rabim. If it's less than 3 tefachim, that's called rishus harabim because people trample on it. Mishloshav atishalom midrasi darsi le below kisuvim b'chasvi. 3 to 9 is not so convenient. So that might be called a carmelis if it's dalet al dalet or somewhere in between. If it's 3 tefachim up from the ground, which people don't walk on because it's going to bother them, but if it's not 10 tefachim up yet, it's not 9 tefachim up yet, it's not convenient to put stuff down on. So that's why it's not going to be a rishus harabim. Tisha vade makasvim ilav. But once it gets to 9 tefachim high, so then people use it, and therefore it's going to be called a rishus harabim. Right, so that's maneuver through, but they didn't use it. Here, I guess they're using, they use these, they dafka go there to use them and put stuff on. That's why it would be different. It's not just that the merchant hangs his wares on there, where they go around it, and some, once in a while they don't use the top of them. They have to use the top of them. Amalei Abayler of Yosef, Gumamai. So what's the question? The question is that we just said that if you have this projection up from the ground in Rishus Harabim, people use it so it could be called a Rishus Harabim. What happens if the opposite? If you have a ditch in Rishus Harabim that people might store things in as they have to life, they have to go to the bathroom, they have to go something, they'll put stuff in the ditch, and then they'll come back to it later. So does the same principle of calling it a Rishus Harabim apply to projectiles up? Do they also apply to ditches inside? Rashi here points out, when it comes to Rishus Hayachid, we know the same applies. Right? The Gemara said earlier, if you have a charitz or a tail that's 4x4, that's ten tefachim high or deep, the same principle applies, up or down by Rishus Hayachid. But the Gemara is asking, what about Rishus Harabim? Up, we see it is a Rishus Harabim, what about down? Amar le, v'chein baguma. So Rav Yosef answers, yes, the same principle applies. Rava Amar, no, Beguma lo does not apply, my taima. Tashmish idea tzach lo shvei tashmish. No, this is much more difficult to use it. It's not like you have an amud, you have a pillar. It's just a rabbi, you put something right on. I'm sorry, is it still working? I hope I just stepped on the wire. Still okay? If you have to, a tashmish, you can use it. But it's difficult for you to use. You have to bend down and reach into the hole. It's not so easy to use it. So that's why, lo shmei tashmish, and therefore,
Still connected?
Yes. Okay, good. Loshmi Tashmish is not... it's not halachically called a tashmish, therefore it won't be called a rishus harabim. It doesn't have the same status up and down. So now we're going to ask two kashas on that, trying to prove this one way or another. Whether tashmish al yidei atchak is shmei tashmish or not. Esvir rather marmasa lo rava. So rather marmasa asks Rava. Rava, who was the one who said guma is different? Rava said that this last line of tashmish al yidei atchak is lo shmei tashmish. Haisa kupasu munachas rishus harabim. Let's say somebody has a box. A big box in Rishus HaRabim. Gavoa Asara V'Rachava Dalid, 10 high and 4 by 4 wide, which means that box, even though it's sitting in Rishus HaRabim, is a Rishus HaYachid. Because it's Dalad al Dalad with 10 Tzvachim high machitzis. So then the halacha is, Ein Metaltalan lo mitocha Rishus HaRabim v'lo Rishus HaRabim l'tocha. Right? It's called the Rishus HaYachid. So you can't carry from one, from the box to the street or the street to the box. And then, the Brisa says, Pachos v'kein metaltalan. But if it's less than 10 Tzvachim high, or it's less than 4 tzvachim wide, then it's mutzvi metaltel. Rashi says maybe it's a karmelist, but we're talking about on a daraisa left. V'chein beguma. And Rashi also says something else. Just yeah, that maybe once it's a kli, it's not called a karmelist, which is a sugya, whether there's karmelist for kli. We're not going to get to that now. There's some rishonim on it here if you want to look into it. So the Brisa continues, though, pachos v'kein metaltalan. If it's smaller than that, you're allowed to be metaltel. And the Brisa ends off with the ambiguous lines, v'chein beguma. The same thing applies to a hole. So what is that last line referring to? Our Brisa had two lines. And then it says V'chein Beguma. Is V'chein Beguma going on the Reisha, the first line, or on the Seifa, the second line? So the Gemara says, Bailav HaSeifa. Aren't these last two words going on the Seifa, which said that if it's less than this, you can be metaltel in it, which might prove to me that even though this is something that is not so easy, right? Rashi says, "My love, hi vasachin asefa nami koyep the pachos became metaltel lechachila." Amar Rishus Harabim chashav levukma ba'amok testu mishtamshin boksas. Right, this box, this kupa, is not so easy to use. It's tashmish idea tzchak, and it says if it's called, if it's really part of the Rishus Harabim, if it's not its own Rishus Yachid, you're allowed to use it. Which means it's a Rishus Harabim. It's the same Rishus. If it's the same Rishus, doesn't that prove that Tashmish Idea Tchak is Shmei Tashmish? It's called the Rishus Harabim. And therefore, so too in the case of the ditch, you should say that it's called the Rishus Harabim. Just because it's more difficult for people to use than the pillar, it still should have the status of Rishus Harabim, and you should be able to be metatal in it. So Gemara says, Lo Aresha. No, it's talking about the first line. The first line which says that you're not allowed to be metatal. So don't prove to me that this is called Rishus HaRabim, and you can't be metaltel. It could be that this V'chein Begum is going on the Reisha, and therefore it's no Rai. That was proof and rejection number one to the principle of Tashmish Ideat Chak, Shmei Tashmish or not. Esve, second try. Niskavim Lishbos Rishus HaRabim. If somebody has Kavana to be Shoves in Rishus HaRabim, what does that mean? There's a concept in Mesechas Eirvin that is called an Eirv Tchumin. Really, outside my city, if I live in a city, if I'm not in a city, then it's outside from me, I have 2,000 amos to walk on Shabbos. Alpaim amos l'chol ruach. 2,000 amos. Let's say I want to extend that somehow. I'm at point A, and point B is 2,000 amos away from me, but I know there's going to be a great shear on Shabbos, 3,000 amos in the other direction. So how do I get there? I can't go there on Shabbos because I'm 3,000 amos away. So there's a concept called Konesh Shvisa. You're allowed to acquire and make your center on Shabbos a different place than where you are. If you put some challah, some matzah, 2,000 amos away from you, or within 2,000 amos away from you, then the place where you put that challah, that matzah, is the center of your 2,000 amos, and you're allowed to go in a radius of 2,000 amos around that area. So then, you lose, whenever you send an Erev Tchumin, there's a kul and a chumra, you lose amos in the other direction. Because if you put your 2,000 amos that way, so then you have zero that way, and 2,000 amos the other way. So it all, yeah. Wherever your center is, you have 2,000 amos around that. That's the concept of Konesh Shvisa. The halacha is, you have to have kavana, you have kavana to be Konesh Shvisa in a specific place. As Rashi here explains, your matzah or challah has to be in the same place, because you have to be able to eat that. Because it's considered that that's your setting up camp over there. That's the principle that we have to know for the following halacha. That you have to be Konesh Shvisa in the same place where your challah is. So let's say the Mishnayos and Erevin talk about, let's say your challah is locked up in a box and you don't have the key. Let's say it's up in a tree and you can't get to it. So that might be in a different Rishus. So Gemara's going to have another example of that. Let's say you have Kavana to be Konish Visa in its place in Rishus Arabim. Right? A place in the street. V'hiniach Eruv Babar, but you put, right next to that, you put your Eruv, your Matzah, in a pit right next to the place where you want to be Konish Visa. You're not, so you didn't have, for some reason, you didn't have Kavana to be Konish Visa in the pit. You had Kavana to be Konish Visa on the street, and then you put the Eruv in the pit. So the question is, that's going to be our discussion. Is the pit going to be the same Rishus? That's how you see where this is going. So the Lashon of the Braisa is, L'mal miyutvachim eruva eruv, l'mata miyutvachim ein eruva eruv. Above 10 tvachim, it's a good eruv. Under 10 tvachim, it's not a good eruv. So what does that line mean? What's above? What's below? Hey chidami, what's going on here? I lema b'bar de'isbe asara. Maybe, are we talking about a case where you have a ditch that's very deep? Very deep. 30 amas. The ditch is 30 tfachim deep. But what is lamala and lamata mean? Ulamala de daloi va'osve. Above 10 tfachim means it's within 10 tfachim to the ground. And it's hanging within 10 tfachim to the ground. And that's when it's a good Erev, because it's within 10 tfachim to the ground, you could get it. Ulamata and under 10 tfachim means further from the ground, de tasoi va'osve. So the Gemara says, mali lamala, mali lamata. So who cares if it's hanging close to you or not, hu b'makam echav eruv b'makam acher. Who? If you have a ditch that's 30 tefachim deep, it's its own rishus. That's a rishus hayachid. So what do you mean? Who cares where it's hanging? So for sure you can't take that eruv down. You're in a rishus harabim on top. That's in a rishus hayachid. The eruv tchumin is not going to work because you and your eruv are in a different rishus from each other. So that can't be the case that the Bryce is talking about, a very deep ditch. It must be the Bryce is talking about a case where the ditch is less than 10 tefachim deep. Vikatani, but what does it say? It's less than 10 tefachim deep. And it says if you're holding it close to you, eruvo eruv. Alma, and you see, so therefore you have this ditch. That's the exact case that we're trying to prove. If you have a ditch that's 9 tefachim deep, and the question was, is that called the Rishus HaRabim or not? That was the Ibaya, that was the question on Amud Aleph. So here it says, if it's in the ditch that's 9 tefachim deep, you can use that, right? It's called your Erev. It's in your Rishus. So Gemara says, Alma Tashmish Ayadeh Tchak Shmei Tashmish. That proves our case, that a usage, you're allowed to take it from the ditch to the street. They're both called Rishus HaRabim. So Gemara says, there are two ways to get out of the proof. Zibni Mishani Lei Huve Eruva B'Karmelis. Maybe, really, we're not talking about Rishus HaRabim here. We're talking about a Karmelis. Again, similar answer to what we had a couple of blot ago. And that is really, it says Rishus HaRabim, but really it doesn't mean Rishus HaRabim. It just means that it's not a Rishus HaYachid. Okay, that's one answer. And then you wouldn't have any raya, because we're trying to prove to a Rishus HaRabim case, does the ditch have the status of Rishus HaRabim? But if it really means Carmelis, it's no proof. Maybe you're right, he is in a Rishus HaRabim, but the ditch is in a Carmelis. So why is it mutter? It's still also midrabanan to take it out of the ditch. The Rebbe he. And then we have Shita's Rebbe to Omar, called Darvish Humishim Shvus, Lo Gazra Allah Venashmasis. Very important principle. The Pashas of the Gemara, Isure Drabanan, don't apply Venashmasis. That's what the Gemara says. Kol Darvish Humishim Shvus, if it's a few minutes after Shkia, as long as it's really Venashmasis, at least let's say 9 minutes, like the Gra says, and everybody says that's Venashmasis, according to Rabbi Tata, that's Vada Yom, so whatever it is. So at least a few minutes for after Shkia, that's called Venashmasis, and the Gemara seems to say, we'll talk about this in a minute, Isuri Drabanan or Mutti Venashmasis. So therefore, here too, the critical moment when it comes to setting an Erev Tchumin is the second the Shabbos starts at Venashmasis. So if at that moment, he's in Rishus HaRabim, and his Erev is in a Karmelis, which means, it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan, in order to get his Erev, that's going to be Mutter, because Issur D'Rabbanan don't apply a Ben Hashmashus, and it will be considered that him and his Erev, he and his Erev are in the same Rishus, and it would work as an Erev Tchumen. But either way, according to either of those two answers, Rava does not have a proof that Tashmish Ayadeh Tchak is Shmei Tashmish, that a ditch off of Rishus HaRabim will have the status of Rishus HaRabim. Okay, those are the two rejections of the proof. Okay, two important ha'aris related to what we just said. The Rashba on our Gemara, on this Gemara, says, think about the case. What did the Gemara suggest? That if you have a Rishus HaRabim, you have a street, and then you have a ditch that's, let's say, 8 tefachim deep, you're allowed to take something from the ditch, reach down, and take it back up into the street. Right, that's what the Gemara said. You're allowed to do that. Right? And the question was, because that has the status of Rishus HaRabim, that was the potential riot. The Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Yonah and says, you know what this Gemara proves? That you're allowed to carry something less than Dalaramas and Rosh Hashanah. Because of what you're doing. You're taking it from the dish to the street. It says that's potentially mutter. We have this concept that you're not allowed to carry Dalaramas and Rosh Hashanah. What about carrying two Amas and Rosh Hashanah? Is that mutter? Or is that Asa Midrabanan? What would you say? Right? So what would you say? So there's a sheet of the Raivit that says it's Asa Midrabanan. The Raivit says you might come to carry four. We have plenty of Xeris that are more far-fetched. The Ravid said this isn't so far-fetched. The Ravid says that you're not allowed to even carry two Amos in Rosh Hashanah because you might have to carry four Amos in Rosh Hashanah. It says Rabbeinu Yonah, quoted in the Rashba, based on this Gemara, and this is what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam passes this way, that mutter to carry something less than Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah. That's what you learn from this Gemara. Because it says you can take the thing up from the pit to the street. So you're obviously going some area, and it's in Rosh Hashanah, but it's mutter. Potentially, we said. We didn't reject it for that reason. We rejected it, say, oh no, it was really a karmos. But the yisod, we didn't reject. So it says, that's the Rashba, Rabbeinu Yonah, quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, that is mutter. Ask some of the Achronim, the Chavos Yoyer and others, what about the concept of Chatzi Shir, Asur Min HaTorah? Right, we know there's a principle, Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and Yuma. Rabbi Yochanan says, and we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, Chatzi Shir, Asur Min HaTorah, you're not allowed to eat half a kazayis of treif, you're not allowed to wear half a shir of shatnez. We don't do half averas either. You don't get punished, but you don't get points in Shemayim, you get the avera, you just don't get punished. And there's a whole issue, does that apply to Melech Shabbos? We discussed this a few months ago, but the Rashi in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Dalet, says, Beferish, that Chatzi Shir does apply to Melech Shabbos. So what about here? Why isn't there an Isra of Chatzi Shir? So the Velt says, what does the Velt say? This is not called a Chatzi Shir. This is called a Chatzi Malacha. When you carry something, and you carry half the shear of what you have to carry, this is really a Velt one, I like to say. Like the Olam says. But the if you carry something, and you're only carrying a half a grogeris, that's a Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir, you do the entire Malacha, and you did a half a shear. So that's a Chatzi Shir. But here, the definition, it could be just like a hotzah. You only do an akira and not a hanacha. That's a chasi shir. That's chasi malacha. You didn't do half the definition of the malacha. So too here, it could be that carrying dalet amos is the shir, is the malacha. If you do two amos, that's not the malacha. That's like doing an akira without a hanacha. Especially, we'll talk about later on, the Balamar in the Tzaddiks, I think, Tzaddik Vav or so, the Balamar says that maver dalet amos is just an example of hotzah. Because every person has four amos that is his rishus. When you carry dalet amos, you're being motzi mi rishus le rishus. So if that's true, so then until you get to dalet amos, you haven't done the malach at all. So that could be why Rabbeinu Yonah and why we paskin that less than dalet amos is not aser at all. You're not doing chasi shir. You're not doing, it's not aser midrabanan like the Ravid says, and you're not even doing chasi shir. You're only doing what's called a chasi malach. Okay. The Chavos Yoyer also gives other answers, but we'll suffice with that. And then just a word on the second line, that the second answer was that A, he's talking about a Carmelist, and at Beinosh Vashas, there's no Isuri Durabana. The problem with this is, anybody who has ever davened Ashkenaz on a Friday night knows that the Mishnah on Daf Lama Dalad, which is in Baba Malikin, says Beferish, Savich Hashecha, Savich Eina Hashecha, which means Beinosh Vashas, Ein Ma'asun Esavadai, Ve'ein Matbilan Esakelim, Ve'ein Malikin Esaneris. It says you can't be Tovel Kalim on Beinosh Vashas. That's an Isuri Durabana. Hello. Right, those are Isuri Durabanan. What do you mean? We just said, Kol Darvishum Shum Shvus. Zanazim Ben Hashmashus. What's going on here? Right, what's happening? So the Ritva here asked that question. And he says, you know what? Maybe it's just, doesn't mean all Durabanans are Mutter Ben Hashmashus. Just Carmelis. Just Carmelis. That's what he means. And that's what the Ritva there says as well in Daf Lamed Aleph. It does, is that a general principle? The Isser of Carmelis doesn't apply Ben Hashmashus. That's it. But there are other answers given. Rav Schechter quotes something similar. Rav Schechter has a beautiful article in Eretz HaTzvi. Everyone is beautiful, but just this one is where he talks about there's a difference between the concept of Zeros Durabanan and Malachos Durabanan. The Rabbanan asks you to do certain things, but sometimes they're purely Gzera Mishum. Gzera, you're not allowed to climb a tree because you might break off a branch. What, climbing a tree is a Malacha of Kotzer? No, that's a gzeira d'rabanan. That's not a malacha d'rabanan of kotzer. Writing with your left hand, is that a malacha of kosev midrabanan, or is that a gzeira? That one is a little more tricky. Right? But sometimes you could have the malacha midrabanan of whatever. Let's say something shalom, something only applies midaraisa to gedulah karka, non gedulah karka. So there's a concept of a gzeira drabanan, shema yavo, and there's a concept called the malacha drabanan. And he suggests a similar idea that maybe that's the answer to this question. What do you say? Shvus. What's a shvus? What's mutter? That's by gzeira drabanan. Gzeiras drabanan or mutter b'bein hashmashas. But being tovel something, what, that's gzeira mishum what? That's tikkun midrabanan. So that's a malacha drabanan. So it could be, and he brings other differences between gzeiras drabanan and malachas drabanan, that could apply. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, that the Gemara just said that we rejected, right? We want to ask kashas on, Rava, and Rava says no. Rava says, Tashvus idei tchak is shmei tashvus. We try to ask two kashas on him, and he rejected that. And now Rava continues and says, V'lo tema dechuyi kamatchina lecha. I'm not only defending myself from your problems, I have a proof to me. I have a proof that if you have a place that the Rabbim could use, but it's just difficult to use, right? Tashvus idei tchak, that is called still Rishus HaRabbim. What's my proof? A positive proof. Up until now, I defended myself against your problems. But now I'm going to have a positive proof. I really mean it. Ditzanan. The Mishnah says later on in Shabbos, let's say you have a little puddle. A little puddle of water. But people walk straight through it. People can walk straight through it. So then if you throw a ball, you throw anything into that Dal Amos Chayiv, you know why? Since people walk straight through it, that's still called the Rishus HaRabim. Right, so what? It's a puddle, but people walk straight through it, so you're still going to be chayiv. It's still called Rishus HaRabim. V'kamahu rekak mayim. How deep are we talking about here? Pachlos miyut tfachim. As long as it's less than 10 tfachim, people walk through it, and therefore it's still called the Rishus HaRabim. The Mishnah there continues. V'rekak mayim Rishus HaRabim mahaleches bo, and a body of water which the Rishus HaRabim walks through. Hazorek l'tocha dal amos chayiv. If you throw in a dal amos, you're chayiv. Seems to be somewhat repetitious. The first line, and this is all quote from the Mishnah later on. Right? It sounds like the same halacha, two lines in a row. So asks the Gemara, Bishlama, Rakak, Rakak, Trey Zimni. I can understand why it says the language, why it quotes me this halacha two times. The halacha of the water being called Rishus HaRabim or not. Why? Chadbi Mosachama, Vachadbi Mosach Shamim. One is referring to the summer months, one's referring to the rainy season, Vitzricha. And I have to learn this halacha in both seasons, because if I only had it one, then I would say only in this season it applies and not in the other season. Why? If I only had the halacha that this puddle is something that people walk through, I would have said, if it only had it once, I would have said that was referring to the cold, rainy, the summer. Why? Because people are going to walk through it in the summer because they're hot. They want to cool off. So that's when, in the summer months, it's called the Rishus HaRabim. But in the rainy winter season, maybe people walk around it and the puddle would be considered a non-Rishus HaRabim. So that's why you have to say it a second time. And if you only had it once, you might think the opposite. That only in the rainy season is it called a Rishus HaRabim. Because people's shoes are muddy, right, from the ground. It wasn't paved in those days. That's why they definitely want to walk through it, to clean their shoes off. Aval But in the summer months, I would have said, no, it's not called Rishus HaRabim. Tzricha, that's why in the Mishnah, you need both lines of Rekak Mayim to teach me the halacha, both in the rainy season and in the summer season. That explains why the Mishnah has to say the case of Rekak Mayim in both places. Aval Hiluk, Shrei Zimni Lamali. But why do you have to say in both places, in both the Reisha and the Seifa, that people walk through it? Leave out that second line in the Seifa. You already know. The point is about people walking through it. Rashi explains, has the Lashon, how you can have the Seifa without that line. You can just say it in the Seifa. If you have a shallow body of water, less than 10 tefachim, chayiv if you throw into it. What do you have to say again? That people walk through it. Elalav Shmamina says, Rabbi, you know what it's proving to me? Hiluch. Why is it emphasizing Hiluch? To teach me my Shita. Hiluch, idea tchak, shmei Hiluch. Tashmet, idea tchak, lo shmei tashmet, Shmamina. Right, so it says Hiluch Adeya Tchak is Shmei Hiluch, it is called Hiluch, but Tashmish Adeya Tchak is not called Tashmish. I'm sorry, I missaid it before. This is proving against Rava. That Rava said earlier on the bottom that Tashmish Adeya Tchak, I'm sorry, like Rava, I was right. Right, that Tashmish Adeya Lo Shmei Tashmish. Beforehand we were asking Kashas and he defended himself, but this is answering that this Gemara this Mishnah is emphasizing that when people walk through with difficulty, the Mishnah is emphasizing by saying it twice that it's Shmei Tashmish. It's still called a Rishus HaRabim, these puddles, but even though people walk through it with difficulty. Masha'ein Kain, it's emphasizing this in contrast to Tashmish Ayde Tchak, usage with difficulty is different than walking with difficulty. Walking with difficulty, the Mishnah says, is called a usage, and therefore is going to be a Rishus HaRabim. But usage idea tzchak is lav shmei tashmish, and therefore it's not going to be called a Rishus HaRabim. Relating back to the case that we started out with, that if you have this guma in Rishus HaRabim, so then, says Rabbah, it's not going to be called a Rishus HaRabim, because tashmish idea tzchak is lav shmei tashmish. Period. Okay, so we're up to Amar Rev Yehuda. Amar Rev Yehuda. Hi, Ziriza Dekani. If you have this bundle of reeds, Rama Vizakme, Rama Vizakfe, Lomachayavad to Akale. Picture a long bundle of reeds, and it's pretty heavy, so what do? You pick up one end, and you flip it over. And then you pick up the other end, and you flip it over. And that's how you're moving it. You're never holding the whole object. You're always picking up one end and flipping. Picking up one end and flipping. Says Rev Yehuda, you're not chayev, because you never did an akira and a hanacha. Whatever you did in a, whatever there's a hanacha of dalet amos of one side of the object, the other side of the object is still within the original dalet amos. So that's why, says Rev Yehuda, it's going to be pater. What does this have to do with anything? So look at Tosfos. Tosfos has two important ha'aris. First, Tosfos says, you know what the chiddush is? Even though this is the normal way to move such a big object. And therefore, you might have thought that you're chayev. Because, well, how else do you move this? Tosfos says, Kamash 1, third line. It's like stopping in order just to rest. So why should this be a hafzik? This is normal. This is a normal mode of carrying. Still, afilo hachi pater, you're still going to be pater. That's point number one of Tosfos. But if this is true, and that's the chiddush, so then we know how it connects to earlier, because earlier we were speaking about an amud of nine tefachim, putting stuff on there to rest, to fix your knapsack. So to here, you might have thought that because this is the normal way to move around with this object in Rishus HaRabim, you're chayev. Kamash 1 says Tosfos that you are pater. That's point number one of Tosfos. And then Tosfos says the reason is because you didn't do the malacha babas achas. But let's say, says Tosfos, let's say you just drag it. You take one end and you drag the whole thing in one swoop. That you're going to be chayev for. Because then the whole object is moving out into outside of Dalet Amos at one time. Just flipping it over, not, because the one side doesn't move. One side stays where it is each time you flip. That's what Tosfos says. Amar Mar, one more minute. Amar Mar, now we're getting back to the Braisa that we quoted earlier, back all the way on Dav Vav Ben Aleph. This is quick. Adam no oed ala skopin, no to me balabais, but no sin lo, no to me anim, no sin lo. Right, we spoke about before that if a person is standing on a threshold, he could take from outside and take from inside. Highest scope am I? What rishus is this threshold? Ilema is kopas rishus harabim. If this is kopa is a rishus harabim, then that doesn't work because the Braisa says no to be baal bais. You're allowed to take from the baal bais who's in the house. Hi mafik rishus yachol rishus harabim. So then you wouldn't be able to take from the baal bais if this threshold is called the rishus harabim. So elos kopas rishus yachid. What's the second possibility that this threshold is rishus yachid? So that doesn't work because the Braisa also says no to be ani. They can take from the poor person. Hakam ba'ayal rishus harabim rishus yachid. Then you're taken from the street to Rishus HaYachid. So, Ela Iskopa is Carmelis. So then, maybe the third choice, maybe the Iskopa, the threshold is a Carmelis. So we say, one second. No, the Rishus HaKhila. The Bride says, you're allowed to. Mutter. Sof Sof Yisura Mia Asya. What do you mean? It's still an Issa Drabanan if it's a Carmelis. So the Bride says, Ela Iskopa Makam Ptur Ba'almahu. So fine. Fourth possibility, really, the Iskopa is a Makam Ptur. Makam Ptur, then you're allowed to do either direction. U could go into Lesbe Dalad al Dalad. It's not a 4x4 area. So that's like Rabbi Yochanan says that if it's a makom that's less than dalad dalad, mutzer lebnei rishus ayachid lebnei rishus rabim kasi v'lav. They could both use it. But it's a makom ptur. As long as they don't switch. Like we said, we quoted 2 days in Rashi. Yeah, 2 days ago, or yesterday, that why can't you switch if it's a makom ptur? You can't switch because either it's a zilzul to take an object to start down in rishus rabim and go to rishus ayachid on Shabbos, or gzera. Gzera, you might go. Direct. Amar Mar, Babachel Yitam, Mibala Bais, Venosin Laani, Mayanim Venosin Labala Bais, Vimnatav Nazamishlashton, Piturin. But if you did it, you're Pater, because it's not Asa Daraisa, you went through a Makom Ptur, but Midra Abanan, Rashi quoted those 2 deos on the bottom of Vav Amid Aleph, that's where the 2 deos were, so that's why you can't switch, but you're allowed to go in this Rishus from one to the other, from Rishus Rabim to this Rishus, or from Rishus Yusa Yachid to this Rishus. Okay, we'll stop here. And the shiur today was Tzolzeich HaNeshama Sima Bas Avram Svi.